Hi there, listener. This is Radio Prague International, and I'm Ian Willoughby. In today's programme, we've got an interview for you with one of the Czech Republic's most recognisable young actors, Jiří Mádl. He shot to fame with massive teen movies in the mid-2000s, and since that time has impressed in a wide range of movies. But Mádl, who's 34, is also an accomplished writer and director, winning plaudits for the sensitive, low-budget drama To See the Sea, made when he was still in his mid-20s, and On the Roof, one of the country's films of the year in 2019. In this broad-ranging conversation, Jiří Mádl discusses, among other things, his beginnings on screen, why New York was the ideal place for him to study film, directing actors many decades his senior, and a planned project centered on one of the most dramatic moments in modern Czech history. It's a well-known fact that you got a part in your first film, Snowboarders, in 2004 when you were a teenager, after your mum encouraged you to go to an open casting. It sounds like you kind of fell into it, but at that age, did you have some interest in movies and in acting?
I always had a huge interest in movies, but as a kid, as a normal viewer. And then I kept saying that if all my dreams fail, I can become an actor, so, which is what happened. All my dreams failed, so I kind of tried it out.
And your dreams at that stage, you wanted to be an ice hockey player?
Yeah, right.
And how good were you at hockey?
Well, I was quite good, but I wasn't the typical barley guy. So there were some limits, of course, and maybe I could have played in some second or third Austrian league, which I was offered to, by the way. But yeah, this is better. This is more enriching, I guess.
You began by doing a few kind of teen movies. Did you then study acting, or did you more or less learn on the job?
I was learning by doing. It was actually the only way I could do that, because there were offers coming in and I had to react, because you gotta strike the iron till it's hot. But of course, I tried to improve in many ways. I took some workshops in the US and in Berlin. So I did what I could, but really I was learning on the way.
Well, I wanted to ask you about your time in New York. I know you studied in New York. In 2011, you moved there and you went to the New York Film Academy. What exactly were you studying?
I started with filmmaking. That's the name of the subject, which is like general overview of what filmmaking is. But then I decided to focus more on screenwriting, because that's what I wanted to do. As a kid, I wanted to become a writer. And I guess that's through the acting experience, it somehow turned into screenwriting. And this passion grew big, and I wanted to continue, actually, but I didn't have enough money to pay the tuition, so I had to return.
And tell us, when you talk about you wanted to be a writer, who were the writers that inspired you or who you really loved as a younger person?
There were many. I can't really tell, because I remember we have this Čtenářský deník, which is like an obligatory readings that every single pupil has to know. So it was like Victor Hugo and all, I would call it basics or classics. And then what inspired me the most was Milan Kundera and Sally Rooney, which is one of the youngest writers.
You lived, as we just said, in New York in 2011. How did you find that spending time in such a vibrant and kind of amazing city, how did that influence your outlook on things, or did it?
Well, I chose New York as a mecca, as the ideal place to study screenwriting, because if it comes to taste, and also geographically, it stays somewhere between Hollywood and the European production. And I felt that that's what I want to do. That's where I want to be as an author. It influenced me in many ways, because I have never felt such competition, but I also never felt, or I never met so many people willing to help. And that was ideal for me. And also, there wasn't the pressure of being like famous or known to my classmates, which would definitely, they would have been an obstacle here in Prague.
What about just the living in New York itself, regardless of the studies, just spending time in the city, which of course is incredibly multicultural?
I loved it. I felt into deep depressions when I had to leave New York, but honestly, I spent most of the time with my classmates at school. So either studying and talking about movies at school or outside the building. So it was all about films, and I loved it. It felt like you don't miss a minute by doing something useless.
When I was preparing to speak to you, I came across an old interview with you in which you say something that was for me very interesting, that political correctness could be good medicine for Czech people, that Czechs could do with learning a bit about political correctness. What did you mean by that?
Well, Czechs tend to break the rules secretly in their homes and anonymously. They're ready to be very rude. So I think this political correctness surprised Czechs a lot. And for us, it was a cure. I understand that it could be a bit too much, maybe in America or elsewhere, but the discipline that this country is lacking is something that brought me to saying this. I simply think that rules still help us a lot.
In the past, you've taken part in a campaign calling on young voters to persuade their grandparents not to vote for left-wing parties. Also, more recently, you've spoken publicly against the Prime Minister, Andrej Babiš. What motivates you to do things like that?
It's not always the same because, as a public figure, you are forced to say what you mean, what your opinion is, and I'm starting to hold myself back as much as I can. But besides being a public figure, I'm also a citizen. So you can't hold your back as far as it destroys you, I would say. So yeah, with Přemluv Babu years ago, it was really the purpose was to incite people to care about politics, especially the youngsters. But nowadays, when I feel it's too much for me to bear it, so I just speak out. But it's not that I would feel as a political person or an activist.
But also, you do get trolling. People do troll you. Do you respond to this online hate?
Not really. I still don't know how to cope with it because there's one way to delete all the comments that are trolls or to leave it there. But I simply think that we are in front of a huge internet revolution because we will have to implement the same rules that we have in real life into internet. Otherwise, it's going to destroy us. I think that the mob assault that we saw recently on the US Capitol is the result of it, and it may be just the beginning. So if we don't stick to the same rules in the online world, it's gonna be the end.
Getting back to your work, you've now already directed two movies. What did you take from acting and the acting profession, the acting skill, into directing?
Probably the understanding of actors and the acting process. Yeah, still, I think it's my biggest tool, the knowledge, the insight of the actor's perspective. But I remember that I kept promising myself because I hate when the director plays for me. You hate it as an actor because it feels like he's trying to hand you his concept, but you're the interpreter of the role. So I really hated it. And the first thing I started doing when I came on set as a director, I started playing for the actors. But it was okay. They were kids. So they took me as an authority and they obeyed. But then I tried the same with the adult actors, and that was a bit tough, but I know that after the two movies, they know they can rely on me, and they simply take it as my directorial technique, I guess.
And of the directors who you've worked with as an actor, have you found any particularly inspiring in terms of how you now approach directing yourself?
Yes and no, because I think I found a director who works a similar way, which is Petr Zelenka. He also likes the rehearsals, talking about it a lot, and then he really focuses on the actors. But, you know, I reproach myself for not being more attentive when I worked with Juraj Jakubisko and other directors, but by that time I wasn't really thinking of becoming a director, so I focused on something else, on my acting job. Now I definitely try to look around and to take something good from the directors that I work with, but yeah, I could have done more.
You made your directorial debut with To See the Sea when you were still in your mid-20s, and I've got to say, I found it a really great achievement. It's a really powerful film. It starts out almost like a standard children's film, but then gradually the viewer discovers that it's a lot deeper than that. Where did you get the idea for the film?
There are actually two sources of my ideas. First, it was an emotion. It was simple emotion that felt really strong, and I wanted to bring this on screen. And then I remember reading book Curious Incident with the Dog in Nighttime or something like that, written by Mark Haddon. And it's a book written as if by a kid. And I thought it's a great idea, and seeing my younger brother running around with his cell phone and taking pictures, recording videos, I thought that this is actually the first generation who not only has the knowledge how to make movies, but also has access to the right technique. So I decided to try it out and to make a film made as if by a kid. And then I only needed the story, so I started with the emotion that I remembered, and I try to implement to find a story that would actually deliver such emotion.
Well, there's a lot of humanity in To See the Sea. Obviously, I can't reveal the big twist in the film or the thing that the viewer learns, but I presume you must have really thought a lot about how to handle that moment when the viewer learns what's really happening in this family. And you do it so sensitively.
Thank you. Thank you. I thought this could be a trap because childhood is a trap. Not always, but more often than not, it starts nicely and we're caressed and we feel loved, and then the truth comes and we're slowly becoming adults. We grow up through the experiences, and I wanted the film to actually to go through the same path. And to deliver such experience that we as kids had.
Your second film, also very good, On the Roof, was much more of a kind of standard feature film with higher production values. I understand you originally began writing that story in New York during your studying days.
Right, that's right. I started as a screenplay that was supposed to be given to some of the students at school who studied directing. So actually, I was trying to find something that production-wise would be very simple. I was trying to stick to one building, maybe some shops, so that's why there's the flower shop, some streets. But otherwise, it's very simple, and I was trying to make it easy for the students to bring it on screen. And then there was the inspiration of my roommate, a Korean guy who more or less had the similar story like Song, one of the protagonists of my film. His story was the inspiration for me as a writer. And the interesting thing is that actually I am the old man in the story, but we went through the same things. It's just that it wasn't such a contrast like old man and the youngster.
And I should explain for listeners who haven't seen it, it's about a young guy who's considering suicide, and this old guy catches him in the act, so to speak. One thing I'm also curious about, though, is when you, as somebody, say in your mid-20s, then around 30, you are directing really experienced, great actors. You're a young guy. How do they respond to you telling them, especially these really, veteran actors, telling them what to do?
They respond very well. Of course, I was very worried about it, but then you realize that at this age, There are not so many good roles for them. They're great. They have the right experience, but they don't have the right opportunities anymore. So it was the case of Jan Tříska, and it was the case of Švehlík. So I think they were very grateful to do it. The thing is, the more difficult part was to make them come to the casting session, which is strange because you're not really offering them the job directly, but you're asking them to come and you will try them out. So that was the very difficult part that they were not always willing to accept, but some were willing to do it. And I chose Alois Švehlík, which I'm glad.
And also, he was absolutely wonderful in the movie. One thing I'm curious about, you work in so many areas, you act, you direct, you write. Which of those are you most at home in?
Actually, I'm hoping to stay doing all of these things because I think now they're helping, like my acting helped screenwriting, and screenwriting actually incited my directing. So I would tell you what I enjoy the most, it's writing because you're alone and you don't see the limits yet. Of course, you have to keep it in mind, like the budget and all that stuff, but writing is the most, I don't know what to say. You feel most of the freedom in it. So probably writing is the choice.
I believe you're planning a third movie as director about the Foreign Broadcasting Department of Czechoslovak Radio in the 1960s, which I should point out is the predecessor of Radio Prague, where I work today. In any case, what exactly is the story you want to tell about the international broadcasting of Czechoslovak radio?
It's a story of two brothers, and the biggest theme is of the movie is protecting your beloveds in difficult situations. But it's based on a true story of the group of journalists of they were like international broadcasting newsroom or something. That would be the translation, I guess. And they were very active during the Prague Spring, and they were the ones who broadcasted secretly during the Soviet army occupation. And these brothers are somehow put in the story, and it feels at the beginning it feels very inappropriate because there are these elite journalists, and among them there's this technician who doesn't care about politics, doesn't care about anything. He only wants to take care of his younger brother. But the situation is that he works with the heroes that make him go for the same, but also there comes the threat for the brother. I'm really bad at making such pitch because I always write a long screenplay, 130 pages, and then I have to make an operation. I'm not really good at it, but basically that's what it is about.
And will we see you at Czech Radio filming in the building? Do you expect to do that?
I expect to do that.
How has the whole COVID situation been impacting your work?
A lot. As an actor, there's nothing to do. But I'm also a screenwriter. It was great in the first phase of the pandemic because I felt like having a lot of time and really free space, free energy that nobody wants, you know. But then I realized, now in fall, I realized that actually, even as a screenwriter who works in solitude, you need the outside world to work. Even if you don't step in it, you need it to work because you take the energy. I know it might sound too absurd to somebody who doesn't write, but for me, the fall was like empty space, but in a different way. I just couldn't write. It was too much. I need the outside world to start to exist again. Otherwise, I won't be able to write. So to answer your question, initially it was great, and now it's a very hard time for me. Very hard.
In To See the Sea, your protagonist who makes home movies, he says that he wants to go to the US and make films like Miloš Forman. Is that something that you could imagine trying out in the future?
Yes, of course. I would love to work in America, anywhere, basically, where I get the best condition to make what I want. But it's not about money or fame or anything. It's just that you don't want to compromise the ultimate target. So yeah, I would like to, but it's not the matter of fame or money.
That interview with Jiří Mádl was actually recorded for the podcast Czech Next Wave, which is produced jointly by the Czech Centres Network and Radio Prague International. The aim of the podcast is to introduce listeners around the world to some of the most talented young Czechs in various fields of the arts and beyond. The interview you just heard there was from episode 7, so there are of course several more where that one came from. Do check out Czech Next Wave, and why not sign up if you're a podcast listener. But for now, from me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much indeed for listening, and do enjoy the rest of your weekend.